Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is. That's okay. All right, I thought I clicked it off. I clicked it on again. Hello, everybody. This is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yep. I think you got it. Yeah, I'm sick. Well, that's congestion in the lungs and the throat and the whole bit. Must have been something I picked up on my trip. Not really. I think it's probably the airlines, you know, and also like air conditioning the hotels. But anyhow, we're going to have an interesting show. I'm making up for the one that I tried to do when I was at the Renaissance, the Montgomery Renaissance. And so on this show, we're going to have Mayor Todd Strange to chat with us. Dawn from the Montgomery DVDs, BVDs, CVB, one of them. She's going to call in. And I think we got a couple of ghosts on today. Yeah. I think Rosa Parks is going to join us. And Martin Luther King Jr., too. Well, that can be interesting. And then we can have some... a little bit of music later, while I was down there, we got to see singer Tracy Hamlin perform, and she was with the Eric Essex Band. But now we want to begin. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. I got to do a commercial first.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Oh, yeah, you can get them on www.brownies.com. I want one now so badly. You know, it's like when you're sick, you want stuff you're not supposed to eat, you know, because it's comfort food, I guess. But anyway, so let's get into our show because I think I got the mayor here. Do I got him here? Do I have the mayor?
Do
I got Dawn
here.
Oh, Dawn, you're calling in first. I thought the mayor was calling in first.
That's okay. He should be calling in with us.
Okay. Well, you can talk because I can't.
You don't sound so good.
I sound like shit, let me tell you. Man. But anyway, so tell everybody about Montgomery.
Well, as you got a little taste of, Montgomery is a very unique place. We are, you know, birthplace to the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement, not to mention the cultural arts facilities that we have in Montgomery, the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, which is an incredible venue, the Museum of Fine Arts, which you did get to visit there.
Yeah.
You know, and in the last year and a half or so, the downtown revitalization has just been absolutely incredible. And, again, you got to share a little bit of that. The new Alley Entertainment District, which is across the street from our Renaissance Hotel and Convention Center and Embassy Suites and Hampton Inn, and the Montgomery Biscuits Baseball Stadium is there right on the Alabama River. We've got riverboat cruises. a Riverwalk amphitheater, and just a lot of exciting things going on in Montgomery.
And what's the kind of like history? I mean, there's a lot of history in Montgomery. What's the main thing? I guess between Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King, that's plenty, isn't it?
That's pretty impressive right there by itself.
Yeah.
But you've also got the first White House of the Confederacy was in Montgomery, Alabama, and Jefferson Davis was sworn in as the president of the Confederacy on the steps of the Capitol. The telegraph that started the Civil War was sent from a building in downtown Montgomery, ironically right across the street where Rosa Parks got on the bus.
Uh-huh.
And
we'll talk to her later about that.
You will. Yeah. I think I've heard you have channeled Miss Parks, and she's going to be calling in.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that will really be neat. Hank Williams was from this area. He performed his last performance in Montgomery. We have the Hank Williams Museum, and the actual Cadillac that Hank Williams died in is in that museum. So that's another very interesting.
He died in the Cadillac?
He died in the backseat of a Cadillac going to West Virginia for a performance, and it was his driver just thought he'd fallen asleep, and he was in his mid-20s when he died.
Wow.
Yeah, very interesting.
Do you see ghosts of him?
You know, I have heard that you do see ghosts of him around Montgomery also.
Mm.
Yeah, so you never know. You might get a call from one of them, too.
Well, I know I thought I saw a whole bunch of ghosts while we were at the museum.
You did, actually. You saw the ghost of Rosa Parks. You saw the ghost of Martin Luther King, Hank Williams. I think there were some pirates that wandered over from the Alabama Shakespeare Festival from one of the shows.
Oh,
so
that's who it was. Yeah, I know.
That was.
Yeah, I know. There was also a stormtrooper from Star Wars.
Yes, and that actually is from an attraction that is going to be coming to Huntsville, Alabama, to the Space and Rocket Center.
Uh-huh.
That will be next summer in Huntsville. And I believe it's a Star Wars exhibit that lasts, I want to say, around 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I also thought there was wasn't there some character from To Kill a Mockingbird there?
There were. Monroeville, Alabama, which is about an hour south of Montgomery,
uh-huh.
which is where Harper Lee is from. She obviously wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, and they do a production of the show in the courthouse. They've turned it into somewhat of a theater, and they do a show.
Oh, cool.
A reenactment of the play itself. And, you know, of course, being in her hometown makes it very, very interesting.
Yes, one of the many things I didn't get to see yet. Huh.
Yeah, and that, again, that's about an hour and a half south of Montgomery in Monroeville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, in the downtown area, I mean, like, there's, like the center kind of was like where we were staying.
Yes. That's kind of the heart of downtown. You are right down the street from the Alabama State Capitol and the State House. And, again, so much of the historic sites are in downtown Montgomery. There is the location where Rosa Parks got on the bus, the location where she was arrested, which are, you know, 1,500 feet from each other. I mean, it's one block, if that. Are in that downtown area. The Rosa Parks Museum and Library is there. The only church that Dr. Martin Luther King was the senior pastor, which is Dexter Avenue King Memorial Baptist Church, which is right across the street from the Alabama State Capitol. And a lot of people are always amazed to look and see that, you know, Dr. King was right across the street from the Capitol where George Wallace was sitting as governor.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, very interesting.
You have theater there, too.
We have a lot of theater. The Alabama Shakespeare Festival is a beautiful theater that was a gift to the city of Montgomery from Mr. Winton Blunt years ago. and it is one of the top 10 Shakespeare theaters in the world, and they do productions year-round. They make all of their sets, all of their costumes. Everything is done on site. The actors, a lot of them have gone on to do bigger and better things, which is really neat for us to see them. But they do incredible work, and it's not only Shakespeare, but it's also off-Broadway type shows that they bring in. The Montgomery Performing Arts Center, which is a new facility, it's a part of the convention center, is also a new, well, it's about a year and a half old, and
mm-hmm.
they are doing productions of off-Broadway and Broadway type shows.
I think, is it Mamma Mia that's coming up?
Mamma Mia is coming. I believe Annie, A Chorus Line. They've got several concerts coming in the next couple of months. And, it's something that's really exciting for us here in Montgomery.
Now, I was in touch with a friend of mine and who I went to Montgomery. And I was trying to think how long ago. It was about almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I said to her, I said, "Did you go with me?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't remember a damn thing. What did we do?" She said something about there's a dog track.
Yes. Victoryland is a dog track, which also has bingo-style machines, and they're very much like slot machines, but they are playing a bingo game at the top. And that facility has, if you were there 20 years ago, you would not know it. If you came back, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And they do still run the dogs. And that is about 15 minutes, 20 minutes from Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
It's between Montgomery and Auburn, Alabama. It's in a shorter and a very interesting area, but it seems to have done very well, and it seems to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean,
it does.
It to bring more people there, the things to do for tourism.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is that why they decided to have? How did they decide to have the Travel Media Showcase there?
We actually approached them. We knew that they were looking for cities to contract with, and we had hosted the event in 2002, and a lot of the things that you were able to see were not created at that time. And one of the things that we talked to the show's producers about was, we want to show a lot of the things we talked about when they were here, that we were going to do these things, and we had these grand ideas, and a lot of them are completed now. So we wanted to bring the group back and say, hey, number one, this is what we were talking about eight years ago.
Right.
And just let them really see what Montgomery has, because we really feel like Montgomery is a brand new city. We've got so much going on in the entertainment district, and that's what we want to market, is we've still got the incredible history that we've always had. And we're very proud, and we want to market that and show people that two of the world's greatest cataclysmic events happened in Montgomery, Alabama,
right.
Civil War and civil rights. And, you've got that history, but you've also got this great entertainment district and these wonderful arts and entertainment options.
Now, when we went to the, we had the option of going to different places to eat.
Yes.
And I went to the barbecue.
Barbecue, yes.
Heartland. Mmm.
Isn't that great? Dreamland barbecue?
Yeah. But,
Yeah.
And I was curious about, the other places that everybody else went to.
Yes. One of the restaurants that's getting ready to open is called Zaza's, and it's an Italian restaurant. And Joe DiMaggio's cousin is actually...
What a name dropper, boy. Yeah.
I'm telling
you. Joe DiMaggio's cousin. Well,
that's it. But his name is Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, it is.
It is. So not being a name dropper, that's his name. But he is one of the owners of this restaurant. Well, they're going to be opening in the alley, and unfortunately they were not open yet, but we had someone cater in Italian food that would be a sampling of what he is going to be doing in the alley bar, which was next door to Dreamland where you went. We also, there is a facility that's for rent for private events in the alleyway called 129 Coosa. And that facility, we had what we called grits and gumbo. So we gave them a little southern flair with shrimp and grits and gumbo and a little Cajun flair to that one. So those were the three options that people got to enjoy. But we've also got across the street, it's adjacent to the hotel, is Wenzel's Oyster Bar, which is a great seafood place, which will be opening the end of September, and Zaza's will be opening the first part of October.
Well, you know, I have to come back just to try those restaurants.
I know, all the food.
Yeah. Well, there was also the place, the alley bar.
Yes, yes, the alley bar.
That was a hoot.
Wasn't that great? Did you do a shot?
Yes, I did a shot. I did, first I had the alligator piss.
Ah.
Well, let me explain to my audience what they do in this. It's like, and you don't have to, but you may want to don a jacket going in there.
Yeah.
It's because the glasses, the shot glasses, are made of ice. And so they had different shots, like you could pull, you know, something that you wanted from the shelves, but they also had some concoctions already made up. So I tried one called alligator piss. But then I wanted it, because of the New York sharks, I had to try something blue.
Mm-hmm.
And the only blue drink they had was the blue motherfucker. Oh, which I'm not allowed to say on the radio.
Whoops.
But, and I have a list of what went in there. It's rum, tequila, vodka, triple sec, gin, blue curacao, and sour mix. Can
wow.
you imagine?
Wow.
It's kind of like a Long Island iced tea.
Uh-huh.
And, man, I had two shots. Wow. I'm glad that the place is only a block away.
Yeah. And it's really done a great job, and they bring in different entertainers, but they have an area in the back part that they've brought in dueling pianos before, which is really a lot of fun. And the shot room that Merle is talking about is really unique because you go into a separate room. They keep it at 32 degrees all the time. You can put on a fur coat if you want to when you go in. The shot glasses are made of ice, and when you're done with your shot, you throw the glass on the floor.
Yeah. You should have seen all those wusses that had to wear a jacket.
That's right. What are they thinking?
I'm telling you. I mean, yeah, I went in there. Maybe that's why I'm sick.
I don't know. With all that alcohol, you should have been all right. That should have killed anything that was going on.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. I still have a bottle of wine from the Birmingham trip, which I'll discuss another time.
Good.
But anyway, so I obviously only got to see one hotel. Is there any other, like, hotels in the area?
There are. Right across the street from where you were staying, you had an Embassy Suites, and across the street on the opposite side, there was a brand new Hampton Inn, but it was built in a refurbished building, or remodeled, I should say, in a refurbished downtown building. And it is a gorgeous hotel. They've done a fabulous job. It's a small boutique-type hotel, but it's only 86 rooms, I believe, but really a unique property. And it's a really nice compliment because you've got a Hampton Inn & Suites, a Renaissance, and an Embassy Suites, and there's talk of building some others in that downtown area, which would be very nice with the convention center. We've got some other wonderful hotels throughout the city, around the East Chase area, which is one of our shopping centers, and that's also close to that East Chase Museum of Fine Arts, the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, some of those. And there's some great hotels and wonderful shopping on those, and restaurants also in that area.
Now, that the park, is it, I forgot, Bound? No.
Blunt Cultural Park.
Yes. That was really nice, although I didn't, you know,
It's beautiful, yeah. We kind of drove through and got everybody in and got settled, but it is an incredible park. The land was donated by the Blunt family, and he also donated, I believe it was $27 million to build the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, as well as he went back in and helped with the Museum of Fine Arts.
Now, there's a story, something about the ducks, the black ducks.
They're black swans.
Swans, yeah.
Yes, black swans there, yes. And that was something that they had brought over. Mrs. Blunt was a big fan, so she wanted her some black swans, and she got them.
Oh, bring her. Oh, come
there
on.
You go.
Donald, get out of here, Donald.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we also, you know, the Montgomery Zoo is another one of our treasures here in Montgomery, and for a city the size of Montgomery, we have an incredible zoo. Just opened in the last 2 years, the new elephant exhibit. We have had a baby elephant born, and it's just been really fun to watch. And, you know, everybody loves to go to the zoo and watch the animals.
Any animals that I get to pet?
You know, they do have one area that you can't. It's a little petting zoo.
Oh, okay.
Not the big ones, but.
Okay. I mean, you saw the picture of me with a baby lion cub in my arm.
I did. Yeah, they won't let you do that at our zoo.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, not just yet.
Nah. By the way, as you're talking, I'm making a list of the places that I have to go back to.
Great.
I just want to let you know.
Good. Very good.
Now, also there's some history about the train station.
Yes, Union Station, which is where our office and the Montgomery Visitor Center is right across the street from the Renaissance Hotel, the Convention Center, the Embassy Suites, all of those. It is a historic train station. They don't run passenger trains anymore, but they do run freight trains on that line still. The Visitor Center itself was built in the late 1800s. And it is right on the Alabama River. Again, we're on a bluff overlooking the river. It's a beautiful facility, incredible stained glass windows. It has the original train shed behind it with stained glass. It's just absolutely gorgeous architecture.
Yeah, I have a picture of that from my window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had a good view from where you are.
Yeah, the view is good.
Yes, good.
Yeah. Okay. A letter went out, by the way.
Yeah.
And by the way, just wondering, did you hear about the fiasco at the other hotel?
You told me a little bit about that.
Oh God. I mean, actually, what I would love to do is have the writers each write their own particular experience, and I bet you it would be hilarious.
Well, you never know.
Oh, yeah. It would be hilarious. I mean, it was like a comedy of errors, but it would be hilarious. But anyway, that's Birmingham, so we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
So mainly, I guess, so that area was built up where the water, where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, where was the main focus in Montgomery?
You know, it was kind of strange because, of course, the capital has always been downtown, but there has not been a lot of activity in a long time in the downtown area. It was one of those where, you know, at 5 o'clock when everybody left downtown, it kind of shut down and everybody went away. And now that is slowly coming back around, as you saw in the entertainment district and some of the areas down there, the riverfront. We've got a brand new riverboat that does river cruises. They do dinner cruises and just musical cruises, and it's just a lot of fun. But the other areas, Montgomery was really kind of the historic sites were primarily downtown, but everything else was kind of spread out in different areas through the city.
Can one visit the Capitol? Can you get a tour?
Oh, yeah. Yes, you can.
And like,
yes, you can.
it basically you just like walk in there and say, I want a tour? Or does,
yes, they have tour guides that are available, and I believe they do scheduled tours maybe every half hour, every hour, something like that. And you come in and they will give you a guided tour. And if you just want to kind of look at the areas on your own, they will give you a map and they'll give you a written kind of history of each room and tell you, you know, if you're on a tight schedule and can't do the whole thing, you can kind of get the Reader's Digest version, if you will, and hit the highlights. And again, the architecture, the dome of the Capitol, the inside is just absolutely beautiful. It has a gorgeous spiral freestanding staircase when you walk in, and it's just a very impressive structure.
Who's your governor?
Governor Bob Riley.
Oh, okay.
He is on the coming up on the last year of his second term, so we will have a election next November to elect
mm-hmm.
a new governor here in Alabama. And, you know, like most places, we got a lot of folks putting their hat in the ring.
Oh,
we'll
yeah. Yeah, we just went through a whole bunch of stuff right here in New York City.
Yeah. Did that all come out okay?
Well, it's going to be very interesting with the big deal, of course, is the mayoral race.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the question is, will Moneybags go get back in?
That's right. That's
but,
true.
I don't know what happened with our mayor, but...
Yeah, he was scheduled to call in, so I apologize. I don't know if he got tied up with something else or if he tried to call in and couldn't get through. I don't know.
Well, okay, let's chat a little bit. So was he responsible for any of the revitalization, or he's like he just pretty much came in now? And
he actually, our former mayor was Bobby Bright, and he was elected. He had been in office for about 8.5 years and made a run for Congress and was elected in about a year and a half into his third term. So he obviously went to Congress, and he's in Washington now. And Mayor Strange, Todd Strange, he was the chairman of the county commission in Montgomery. So he was involved, but on a different level.
Right.
And when Mayor Bright went to Congress, Chairman Strange ran and won the election and has been in office. I kind of laugh because he says this every time he talks, but I saw him today. I was in a meeting with him, and he said, I've been in office 176 days. So he's keeping track.
So, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to, do something on, when he's in the office, 200 days?
You know, I feel like we have to. I think that may be why he keeps reminding us how many days so we can hit those highlights.
What has your mayor done in 200 days?
That's right.
What do you think he's done? I mean, what have you, seen? Have you, any movement, so to speak?
We have seen some things. He came in at a really tough time, as, everybody knows the economy's in such disarray, and he came in and had to immediately deal with the budget. And, I think he did some things that some things were very popular, some things weren't. But he's done a great job with that. He's helped in the completion of pushing some of these projects through. And, again, he will be the first one to tell you that Mayor Bright started this project, and Mayor Strange kept on a lot of the same advisors that Mayor Bright had. And I think that's helped in the consistency in making a smooth transition and pulling in some of these events and these projects. They didn't slow down. They just kept going full speed. So he gives credit to Mayor Bright, and, but he is continuing the dream, is what we like to say, and the vision, and pushing things along. He has a wonderful relationship with the county commission because he was the chairman of the county commission, so that always helps.
Do you happen to know what the next goal that he's looking to achieve in that?
I think economic development in all aspects,
yeah.
And he truly sees economic tourism as a huge form of economic development.
Oh, then I better start writing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. We need some help getting the word out.
The article will be out tomorrow.
Great, great. And we've looked at the blogs. They're wonderful. And we appreciate that.
you like the YouTubes?
Yeah, they're fun.
Especially,
fun.
What's his name? When is Elvis in the house? I did.
Elvis, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
But I think he has a great vision. He is, he comes from an economic development background, and he understands it. He understands tourism and what it can do for a community, but he also understands the corporate business side. And Montgomery is home to Hyundai Motor Manufacturing, and they produce the Sonata and the Santa Fe here in Montgomery, Alabama. And they are one of the only automobile dealers, or makers, I should say, that are really actually doing well in these hard times. And they have a wonderful product, and that we have had them here in Montgomery for about, I guess they've been open about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And you can go out and see the cars being built, actually. You can actually go out there, watch a car from start to finish, and say, I want that one, and drive it off the lot. the manufacturing line, I should say, not the lot.
At the back of my head, the hairs are standing up. And I have a feeling, I'm getting something with somebody's channeling. Wait a minute. Is this Rosa?
Hello, is this Miss Mel?
Yes, Rosa Parks.
Mel, how did you know it was me?
Because it was a ghost. I felt it. It was back of my head, and it was somebody, important.
You're an incredible personality.
Rosa, I haven't really visited Montgomery too much. What's been happening? I hear that you've been going through some problems.
Well, that all depends on if you are talking about the time of my arrest or if you're talking about the time of our vindication when we were successful in launching a protest against Montgomery Buddy. A city bus line.
What was this whole thing about the thing with the bus? I heard it like a piece of news up here. What was that all about?
My God. Miss Mel, are you in New York?
Yeah.
Very good. Well, back in 1955, we were challenged somewhat with the particulars about transportation.
Uh-huh.
And there was an issue that happened to me personally on the bus that has since been recorded. And what it entailed was really an issue with the bus driver that I had had some previous experiences with some years back prior to this incident that occurred that made history, quite honestly.
Yeah.
So I was challenged by the law that said that African Americans or Negroes at that time were to be give their seat up to a white person. If there was not a seat available, then if there's a black person that was seated, then they should give that seat up and let that black person have the seat. And that particular day, I had just completed my work day and had boarded the bus for home when this particular bus driver had directed us to get up. And I decided that at that particular time, I was not going to get up on that day. And heavens knows that I did not know the implications that would have throughout history.
Well, let me ask you a question. I heard something about that when you got on a bus, you would have to pay in the front, then get off the bus and go into another entrance on the side so you could go in the back.
That is correct. That is correct. The procedure was is that the Negroes would pay their fare at the front of the bus, deboard the bus, and re-enter toward the back.
So, in other words, you weren't allowed to walk through the bus to go to the back?
That's correct.
Okay. What was the concern?
Well, you know, we were living in primarily a segregated town during that time. Montgomery was primarily segregated. And actually, in America was segregated during that time, particularly in the South. So when we were experiencing the kinds of racial prejudices that existed during that time, that really was something that was pretty much standard in terms of African Americans or Negroes and being treated differently than whites. And then most likely that if you were to, if we were to board the bus in the front, of course, naturally, if you boarded the bus in the front, that's primarily where you would have taken your seat if there were a seat open, logically speaking. However, I guess that the practice for us deep boarding and boarding in the rear was to assure that we would take a seat in the rear.
Oh.
And actually, that day, I was actually not in the area that was roped designated for white people. I was not at all. It was just that there was not an available seat for the last white person that boarded the bus that day.
And so you took a seat anyway?
Well, of course I took a seat because that suit back then. There was not a person that was standing there waiting to take a seat, quite honestly. That person boarded the bus after I had already taken my seat. And let me just clarify that if you were to take a look at my arrest record, does not indicate that I was sitting in the wrong seat. My arrest record was based on the fact that I disobeyed the bus driver's order. And in that particular day, the bus drivers had somewhat of an authority, or took that position anyway, but my arrest record will indicate that I was had a disorderly conduct, and my arrest was primarily for disorderly conduct, and the disorderly conduct was that merely the fact that I disobeyed the instruction of the bus driver.
So what happened after that? What was your consequence?
Well, the consequences was that I was taken down to the police station, and I, of course, had the right to make a phone call. Now, I might not add that they did not abuse or mistreat me down there. They were actually quite nice, but it was just the whole issue of the matter, and I might say that it was quite timely because I had been working with the NAACP as the secretary to Mr. E.D. Nixon. Mr. E.D. Nixon was a Porterman, and E.D. Nixon was quite instrumental in trying to bring about equal rights for Negroes during that time. So he worked very closely with Mr. Duh and Virginia, and they were white people that were, Mr. Duh was an attorney. And so I called my friend Mr. Nixon and told him the circumstances. And I might add, there was the response of the community was overwhelming. And I was released and under his care. And he had actually mortgaged his house to get the bond to get me released.
Wow, that's good.
Yes.
This certainly made history. Because was this, you were the first one to do this? Is that why?
No, actually, I was not. I was not. Matter of fact, it was 9 months prior to that, sometime in March. A young woman named Claudette Colvin. She was a 16-year-old woman, a young lady, a teenager, and she was faced with the same circumstances. Although they did not arrest her, they kicked her off the bus. She actually was removed from the bus and did not, she had not taken her seat. She was not permitted to take her seat, and she was removed from the bus. And that was reported. However, nothing took place from that. But, of course, as I said, there was some organizing going on in terms of waiting for the opportunity for there to be a significant case against the Montgomery bus line so that the equality could prevail for Negroes during that time. And so Fred Gray, who's the attorney, my attorney, and a good friend of mine, I know Vernon Fred, we lived on in the same neighborhood, had heard of the case, and of course, via Mr. Nixon, and Mr. Nixon had commissioned Brother Fred to come down, and he represented me in that case and made quite a compelling case, actually. And therefore, that was the ideal situation to launch the protest, which resulted in the Montgomery bus boycott, which was coordinated and operated by the many of those from the community, but in particular, Ms. Joanne Robinson was very instrumental in ensuring that the word got out so that people would refuse to ride the buses. We had just taken as much as we could take in terms of the unfair treatment on these buses, because primarily it was the Negro that really was riding the buses.
You know, if this happened in New York, I would probably think that the bus driver is mentally disturbed. I would probably think that the people are crazy. But
yeah,
were you at the time? Were you friends with Martin Luther King at the time?
Well, Dr. King was a bit younger than I was. Dr. King had been called, I'm AME, African Methodist Episcopal. That's my denomination, my religion. And Dr. King was Baptist. Not that I had held that against him, you know.
Yeah.
But he had come to Montgomery to lead the Dexter Avenue King Memorial Baptist Church. And Dr. King was a brilliant, brilliant orator. And so the folk felt that the community, Mr. Nixon and Attorney Gray, felt that he was the ideal or would make the ideal. Now, Dr. King had no idea of the situation in Montgomery. They just know that they had heard him speak and thought that he was such an eloquent speaker, and that he would be an ideal person to be the spokesperson for our cause. And that's how I met Dr. King.
You know, I think I feel, wait a minute, I think I feel another, do I have Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. King is here too. Oh my goodness. So tell me, Dr. King, what did you think of this whole thing with Rosa Parks?
As I listened to everything that you talked about, of course, Miss Rosa Parks is a very upstanding person, and she has made many sacrifices in regards to the Montgomery bus boycott and civil rights and human rights of Black man here in America, and what she stated previously was very correct. She was one of our good citizens of Montgomery. She stood up just because she did not give a seat to happen to be a white man. She was thrown in jail, and found that appalling.
Now you were preaching at what was the name, the Dexter. What's the name of the church?
The Dexter Memorial Church. I tenure there. I briefly as pastor and a preacher. I was asked by E.D. Nixon to kind of be the spokesperson for the Montgomery bus boycott.
Do you think that's what started your passion for doing what you did? Or did something else set it off?
Well, this was an injustice to every black person in America, because we were not getting our rights as a human being. In some of my other speech, that this was a crime against humanity. And somebody, and we need to stand up to let America know, nations know, and all over the South, that we are people, we're human beings, and we are guaranteed and equal rights by the Constitution of liberty to the people. And my passion was equality and justice for not just the black man, not just the white man, the red man, but every human being on the earth.
What point, when you gave your speech, were you in Montgomery?
Yes, I was at the Holt Street Church.
Is that when you gave your famous speech?
Yes, in regards to the bus cut.
Okay. I mean, is that where you gave your speech free at last?
No, I gave my speech free at last at the Washington Memorial. That's where we gave a speech in Washington, I Have a Dream.
Right, that was in it, right. I Have a Dream, right. I was trying to remember the name of it. And did you write the speech yourself?
Yes, I wrote the speech, and as I pondered over many things that were going on, the Constitution and how America started, the plight of the black man and the Negro here, America, I said this speech from the pit of my heart.
So you took some of it from the scriptures? Is that what you...
I kind of likened, I want to stay humble in this, but I paralleled myself to Moses and to Jesus in regards to what I saw was coming, in regards to our people one day reaching the promised land. And also myself, as you know, I likened myself unto Moses when I said, I've been to the mountaintop and I looked over and I've seen the promise. And if you remember in the scriptures, Moses was able to lead the people to the promised land, but he was not allowed to go over. But God had showed me that I was not to go over. But I knew that one day that we as a people will one day get to the promised land.
And do you feel, it's a shame as to how, what happened to you. But I think that seems to be, I know you don't know, but what's that happened? There were some other people assassinated after you too. That, fought for the country, fought for peace and things like that. But when did you start preaching there in Montgomery?
Excuse me, I can't hear you very well.
When did you begin preaching in Montgomery?
26.
I gave the speech... in the Montgomery bus boycott in December of 1955, where I started preaching in the 50s in Montgomery. I was asked to come down and be the pastor as a young man, as a pastor and preaching.
Were you born and raised in Montgomery?
No, I was born and raised in Georgia.
Oh, okay. And what made you decide to go to Montgomery?
I was asked to come. They needed a preacher. They needed someone that was well spoken of and could speak well. Because of the movement that was going on in Montgomery, Alabama, I was asked to come and preach.
Okay. So... how do you think, what do you want to see for our future? What do you hope to see happen?
Well, I would like to see these, not for the Negro, not just for the white man. I would like to see peace for all people and all humanity, to this earth and all the nations. I would like to see a time where we would have a black president, not just by the merit or his color, if I may say, not just because of his color.
Yeah.
By the content of his character.
Okay, well, maybe that'll happen. Well, I appreciate your talking with us, Dr. Kane.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And the next time I come down to Montgomery, maybe I'll see you.
I'll see you in spirit.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
You.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Rosa, did you leave us? Okay. Well, I think I might have had... There was someone else calling in. I wonder if I had the mayor. Let's see. Do I have the mayor? I guess he gave up, huh? The mayor finally... I think he finally called in and then gave up. Well, okay. I'm going to take a break right now. We had some interesting music... during our event, it was like Tracy Hamlin sang, and Eric Essex was the band. So let's have one of the songs. This is Tracy Hamlin's song.
Smile.
And now we turn to Eric Essex.
Thank you.
Birmingham, done by Eric Essex. And, well, because of the upcoming March on Washington and the participation of the cast from Hair, I dedicate this song to them.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new total lie.
Sunshine, please. Well, there was some sun today, but I think it became pretty cloudy. Well, speaking of cloudy, that's how my voice is right now. And by the way, all this feedback That was it. I'm glad I didn't do it right into the phone. All the feedback that you got, I have a feeling that Dr. King must have got a hold of a cell phone and put it on speaker. That could happen, you know. Well, I'm ending early because I just can't chat anymore. I don't know what the hell I'm doing next week, so I can't even tell you that. But I'll have something interesting by then, I'm sure. So I want to wish everybody a good day, evening, or whatever you're getting up to. And I believe, wait a second, this weekend. Oh, yeah, this weekend. Is it Friday night? I believe. Let me take a peek. Friday night is Rush Homa. That's what I call it. Everybody's rushing home on Friday night to get in. Yeah. And yeah, Friday night is Rush Homa. Rosh Hashanah, you know, I meant that. And to all those who are, well, I can't say celebrating because it's not a celebrating holiday. It's a holy day. Me, I celebrate. For me, it's the start of the new year. So, what the heck? Bring out that wine, especially this absolutely delicious. Well, I'm not going to have Mogan David. I'm going to have the this wine. What the heck was it? It was a red Merlot chocolate raspberry. Yeah. That what it suits. And to kind of tell you how it tastes, by the way. I mean, when you start to sip it, you first get the Merlot, and then you get the raspberry, then you get the fruit. But then you don't get the chocolate until you, like, are swallowing it, and then you kind of get it in the back of your throat. And also in the nose. I mean, in the nose you can smell the chocolate. Of course, right now I can't. So, anyway. So, good day, good night, everybody, and I shall chat with everybody next week.